This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stocks continue to grind up, sitting at or near all-time highs. We're also moving into the heart of earnings season, and we have some clarity from the Fed. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. Talking markets, let's bring on JJ Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade here in Chicago. JJ, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Always great to be here, Andy. How are you doing today?
I'm outstanding, and it seems like the markets keep chugging along. We're in the heart of earnings season. We have a little bit of clarity on the Fed. With that backdrop, what are you seeing?
Well, it's the market nobody loves. You know, we continue to chug on, as you said, all-time highs, et cetera. And at the end of the day, you just continue to see hand-wringing about all the bad things that can happen. You know, we do seem to be in a area where a soft landing can help us. But as we look at, you know, as you just talked about, we look at earnings season. Now, it hasn't been fantastic. I know that we have had lower expectations. But if, you know, FactSet just reported today that the S&P 500 so far in fourth quarter results, with more than half the companies reporting, are up almost 2% year over year.
It's funny because you kind of mentioned the scenario. You often hear markets climb a wall of worry, and that's exactly what's going on right now. And I actually like when markets make this grind higher in the backdrop of some concerns, but not anything that's, you know, earth-shattering.
This is how rallies can continue, quite honestly. It's when you start going to the cocktail parties or, you know, you get in a cab and the cab driver's like, oh my God, how about the market? That's when I actually start to worry. Right now, I think people are just getting over the fact that they believe inflation is, if not gone, at least pretty well tamed at this point. And so I think with that, with interest rates coming back so that you can get a mortgage under 7%, so we're starting to see a little bit of a clip in the housing market to the upside, along with a pretty positive jobs report last week, I think people are seeing some green shoots, if you will, which gives them some hope going forward. Certainly not all in on the market, but saying, okay, maybe things just aren't as bad as we thought.
Wow, haven't heard that term, green shoots, in quite some time. It's good to see, you know, some green shoots in the springtime.
But absolutely. It's funny to use green shoots when you're talking about all-time highs in the market. But I think the average person is there, you know, we see credit card bills at an all-time high come out today also. So there's all this dichotomy of news. But at the end of the day, I think there has been more positives over the last couple of months than just a complete wall of worry.
Leadership in a lot of this has been a little narrow. We've talked about this with others on the Gains podcast. Does the rest of the market catch up here? Is that potentially the play? Because we've seen a lot of this, of the gains for the market isolated to just a handful of really powerful companies right now?
Well, at the end of the day, the Magnificent Seven, if you will, continues to be the leaders in the clubhouse. But what we are starting to see out of our client base at Tastytrade is people willing to go out and play some other stocks. You know, over the last couple of weeks, and our clients were rewarded with this on earnings earlier this week, was Estee Lauder being a company people have bought. Who would think that? After J.P. Morgan's earnings and, you know, the stock going down quite a bit, people starting to buy there. So what I like that I am seeing out of the market is people starting to expand their base of the stocks they're willing to buy outside of just those seven technology stocks that have been the ones that have led, you know, GM being one people have bought recently also. So you're seeing different businesses and you're seeing stocks start to come up that necessarily haven't been in quite as in favor until recently as they, to your point, haven't quite kept up with the market.
What areas do you think have lagged a little bit and now appear to really be poised to move higher? Are there a couple sectors, ideas, themes when you're, you know, looking through the landscape of stocks right now?
Sure. I think the one that's probably surprised me the most recently is Caterpillar. You know, really strong earnings yesterday, talking about growth across the world. And so with that, you know, their partner in crime, if you will, comes out next week, that being John Deere. So I think as we start to, talk about some of what's happened to farmers and manufacturing, not just in the U.S., but across the world, we're starting to perhaps see some opportunity for that area and that, you know, with anything with fertilizer, seed, etc. I know it's probably not the most exciting area in the world to talk about, but it is something that's often overlooked, that's obviously incredibly important, where the stocks seem to be getting more love than they were, not 2 months ago.
Yeah, and there's nothing more exciting than making money on whatever it is. So hey, if it's a good pick and you can make some money, that Caterpillar and John Deere, looking at, you know, buying into those, kind of is looking for that global turnaround play, huh?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, is the wealth sort of spreading, if you will. And then the other area that I always think is exciting is the credit card process, the Visa, the MasterCards of the world. Not only do they have incredible businesses, but if you believe that, you know, we're going to stay at this level or inflation may rear its ugly head again, you know, they get a percentage of the bill. So inflation actually means larger bills. That's good for them. If rates come down and people start to spend more, that's good for them. So, you know, those are two companies that I think are always interesting to take a look at.
And when you talk about them, they get a cut. So when there's higher prices, a bigger spend, they're getting a cut. And then the other thing is they're not taking on the risk like a lot of the banks. Explain that real quick. I like those two stocks, Visa and MasterCard, by the way.
Yeah, basically they're a processor. So they're not the ones who are on the hook for the money necessarily, so to speak. And if you spend, well, just, you know, easy math example for everybody. If you spend $100 and they get 1%, they get higher percents than that usually, they get a buck. Well, if you spend $200, they get $2. So again, they don't, you know, to them, it's more of a game of constant interaction rather than necessarily having to rely on a few big purchases. They just need people spending money at whatever level it is.
And by the way, the ticker on MasterCard, MA, and the ticker on Visa, V. Back to Estee Lauder. You kind of caught my attention when you were talking. I like picks like that. They just kind of come out of the woodwork. Talk about Estee Lauder. Talk about some others that are that kind of, you know, just kind of come out of the woodwork. You see a good deal and you jump on it. And then watch the stock move. Give us a couple other ideas.
Sure. You know, the Estee Lauder, to your point, to me was really interesting in that, you know, I like looking at what our client base does. And our client base, this is one where I just noticed over the last, month and a half that suddenly our folks were starting to buy the stock. And I'm like, pretty interesting. And they just kept buying the stock over the last 2 months or so. And so I think, that's one where they were rewarded with good earnings. As, again, you don't always have to be fancy, as you and I know. Just look at stocks you may know. And so one of the other ones that they've been playing, two other ones that not necessarily fully related, one being Ryder, the truck rental company. That stock has just been on an absolute tear since May. The stock's up about 40%, and that's one that a lot of our clients have been on. And, you know, as we come into the moving season of the spring, it'll be interesting to see how that stock does too. So that is one I am going to continue to watch. And then Ralph Lauren, is one
Love that stock right now, by the way. Absolutely. Yeah, Go ahead.
Absolute tear. You know, that stock's up 10 points in, a very short period of time here over the last few weeks, and trading in right above 148 at the moment. And again, these are just stocks that people think are quality that got beaten up maybe a little bit more than they should have in the fall and are coming back in a big way.
Yeah, and with Ralph Lauren, they bring in, it's almost beyond just retail and clothing and fashion. It incorporates a lifestyle, even bringing their restaurants at some of their flagship locations. RL has does it right, and they seem, to me, they seem even still a little cheap right now. Okay, we're going to continue the discussion with JJ here in just a second. Got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesdays. We'll be right back with JJ after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Back with JJ Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade here in Chicago. So as we were going into break, you were talking about Ralph Lauren, some of the picks that you liked. Any other ideas, any other areas that the Gains listener should take a hard look at?
How about we talk about one the opposite way?
Okay.
Where people have started to, perhaps say the bloom is off the rose a little bit, and that would be Target. And so many of our clients are, you got to remember, most retail clients tend to be on the long, not a huge bias to the long, but right, probably 52% long, 48% short or sales on most of the things. So you have a little bit of a long bias, but Target with a little bit of a short bias here over the last couple of weeks. So one worth keeping your eye on also.
Well, and that's the one other thing. Explain to the Gains listener real quick on how you, because you watch what others are doing, and I have this sense that you're also keep an eye on the options market. But explain kind of how you come up with some of your picks. It's a different take.
Well, I like to look at, I'm reporting a lot of this on what our clients are doing, which I always think is really interesting to look at what the retail trader is doing. And so our clients do use options fairly heavily along with just the stock. So again, you know, the quick lesson for people is if you think a stock is going up, people tend to buy calls. You know, think about those of us who are old enough to remember phones, you call up and they tend to buy puts if they want us to go down. So you call up, you put down is a really quick way to remember it, like an old phone. And so often what you'll see is when I say people getting a little more bearish, they may be buying puts. They may be selling a lot of their current holdings on their stocks, or they may be selling calls against their things, against their stocks, et cetera. So it's really an interesting way to look at it. And we look at their total position and if they're actually, you know, long or short, do they want the stock to go up long, or will they make more money if the stock goes down short?
It's kind of cool to use that data, and I get a sense that you get an awful lot of it because you have a huge client base, and you can kind of just see in real time where things are headed.
Yeah, and it's just interesting to watch a different perspective on things. And again, you know, the retail day-to-day client base, people using Target on a daily basis have some really strong feelings about what it's going to do.
Oh, yeah, they do. Covered a lot of ground, just talking about where markets and appreciate some of these ideas. What's the final takeaway from our conversation today?
I think the final takeaway is, you know, the average person's hearing so much about interest rates right now. And there's no question they do focus heavily into what we're doing. You know, you had Chairman Powell on 60 Minutes the other night. I think people sometimes focus too much on that. What I would say is you can't control that. You can control your portfolio. Just continue to, you know, if you're just somebody who's going to buy stocks, just to continue to accumulate good companies. Interest rates up, interest rates down, they're going to be fine over time. If you're somebody who has more of a trading bent, this is giving you opportunity. And so the biggest thing, if you're more of a trader, keep your position small so you don't get run over if you're long. And I think that if you're wrong. So with that, I really think worrying less about some of the day-to-day stuff that, you know, some of these networks are on 24 hours a day. They have to talk about something. Don't get so caught up in that.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. I'm the producer of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I watch CNBC.
Show, by the way.
Oh, good man. And, you know, we have a show and we're going to want to talk about stocks and everything going on, but it's careful not to get caught up in that and what you hear. Cause a lot of times I think that sometimes when people pay too much attention to that, and the buzz and all the noise that goes around the financial shows, it has a tendency to have people overtrade. And that's a downside as well. I mean, as we're wrapping up today's conversation, I mean, let's leave off on that. There is a danger to overtrading, and there's a lot of noise that you should just kind of ignore, too. I mean, enjoy it. A lot of this is partly entertainment, and then also, you know, obviously the bigger topic, but you know, just don't get caught up in all the noise. It's easy to do. And just kind of explain that as we wrap up today.
Yeah. So what I would say is, you know, to your point, you can overtrade. You can also have paralysis by analysis. And so I think the bigger thing is, listen, when you listen to someone like myself, some of the great guests you have on every day, really all you're trying to do is say, okay, what's the person's idea? Why does this idea make sense? And is that the appropriate idea for what I'm trying to achieve in my portfolio? It's why I talked about whether you're a longer-term trader, whether you're a shorter-term trader. You need to know that before you make the trade. Is this one I'm making? You know, I'm going to put it on and for the next, I'll monitor it, but my goal is for a year. Or is this one you're putting on saying, hey, this stock has earnings tomorrow, so I'm playing this for a one-day earnings play. It really makes a difference knowing your goal as you go in. And so with that, how much you're going to pay attention to the short-term minutia versus how you're going to, you know, discount some things because, A, you can't control them, and, B, if you have a good company, it's not going to matter.
Big thanks to J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade here in Chicago. And hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We are back next Wednesday. and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.